It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The small northwestern Wisconsin community, Lake Town, is trying to contain the pollution from CAFOs and create more accountability from concentrated animal feeding operations. The town is being sued for adopting local ordinances that target these farms with hundreds of livestock. Call in with your questions about CAFOs, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Adam Voskel is a staff attorney for Midwest Environmental Advocates. Adam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me today.
Good morning. And John McCracken here is a Midwest Reporting Fellow for GRIST, which focuses on climate issues. And his recent piece profiled Lake Town and how it approached the CAFOs issue. John, welcome.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. John, let's start with you. Introduce us to Lake Town and how this community is seeking to regulate these large-scale livestock operations.
So Lake Town is, as you mentioned, it's the northwest corner. It's really close to the Minnesota border, about half an hour. Small community, about 1,000 people. And in recent years, they have, at the county level, Polk County in that area, attempted some CAFO, concentrated animal feeding operation, moratoriums to sort of pause the development or new ones in that area. But then at the local level in the town of Lake Town, they have adopted an operating ordinance that allows the town of Lake Town government and the board there to sort of monitor and set up guidelines and parameters for how these large agriculture operations do their operation, do their daily operations, and what goes on there too, with you know large amounts of cattle, or in this situation, it's a proposed hog farm,
a hog facility. Adam, I want to bring in you here. I mean, it says in the ordinance, Lake Town has a vulnerable landscape, shallow soils, high water table along the St. Croix River Valley. Why would it be the target of a lawsuit if it's trying to protect its natural features?
Yeah, so this kind of gets at a question that's been floating around for maybe 15 years, if not a bit longer. So in the early 2000s, the state passed what's called the Livestock Facility Siting Law. And that law, the regulations that implement that law are managed by the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And so while there has historically been a significant amount of authority and autonomy for towns to regulate CAFOs in agriculture, among other things, a question that was raised following the passage of that law was what authority or autonomy was rescinded, and what local governments could still do to kind of protect the health, the welfare, and kind of address concerns of local constituents to protect things like groundwater, which in certain parts of the state can be susceptible, really susceptible to contamination. So the reason that there's been pushback is the assertion from the residents that are being represented by an industry group in the state is that livestock facility siting law took away that autonomy, and the town has responded by saying no it didn't. That addresses the location of facilities, and instead we're here protecting the health and welfare by addressing the operations, how it's actually functioning, as John said, kind of on the day to day.
And that distinction is really important, I would imagine, John, to the town. I mean, the town rules are not prohibiting CAFOs. They're just putting in place really strict requirements for operations. Why is that an important distinction to make?
Well, that distinction, like Adam said, is happening. I don't want to speak for the town, but with the knowledge that this siting law exists, if they were concerned about an incoming operation or concerned about what it might do for groundwater or contamination in the area, it sort of is a way to preempt that by focusing on the operations, focusing on what daily operations are doing with spreading manure or containing it, or you know, what size or animal units they're getting to, and how they're sort of sustainably dealing with you know, a large amount of animals. But knowing that this Wisconsin state level law exists for zoning, for siting, then focusing on the daily operations again is a way for a community to sort of go into this without even, from their perspective, worrying about the zoning or the siting law. But again, focusing on those operations.
Talking about the regulation of CAFOs in Wisconsin with Grist reporter John McCracken and Midwest Environmental Advocate staff attorney Adam Voskel, you can join in along the way on CAFOs and developments in your own community, 800-642-1234. John, step back for a moment. How much do these large-scale animal facilities affect public health?
In recent years, we've seen this sort of, especially here in Wisconsin, this development of local citizens being more aware and concerned about the effects on public health. The main concern is usually, like I previously mentioned, manure runoff or manure contamination into local groundwater. You know, a large percentage of the state of Wisconsin is still on groundwater wells or private wells or things like that. And manure has a way of, you know, sort of seeping into that water table, seeping into the landscape. And when you have a lot of animals, you have a lot of manure. So there's a higher chance of pollution risk, or, you know, contamination risk. And as you had mentioned earlier, and Adam had talked about, the sort of nature of the landscape matters a lot, the type of soil and bedrock, if it's more, you know, susceptible to contamination, if it's, you know, coarse, or if it is has shale or things like that. So that biggest concern is always going to be the groundwater pollution from manure and things like nitrates and phosphorus getting into local either drinking water or recreating water. And if it gets in drinking water, it's not good for public health for people to be drinking those contaminants. Or if it gets into recreational waters, it is not good for, you know, things like wildlife and fish. And it has an adverse effect on the sort of biology of a water body of water.
And I wonder, Adam, you know, as we hear about the impacts of these facilities, is there a clear definition of what size of a farm operation constitutes a CAFO?
Yeah. So there is both a definition of an animal feeding operation, an AFO, and then a CAFO, or a large CAFO. And when we're typically thinking about these industrial, extremely large size farms that we're discussing today, there is a definitional term. It tends to vary based on the type of animal, but in Wisconsin, where we're typically dairy farms, you would think of 700 or more dairy cattle, about 1,000 beef steer, I want to say close to 2,000 hogs. It's generally a number defined by the amount of waste that the animals produce. And so they try to equal it out across the spectrum of potential livestock. But there is a definitional size in addition to being needed to be contained in inside for a certain number of days. You have to meet a threshold of, like I said, it's 1,000 animal units, and that animal unit is broken down by the type of animal.
John McCracken reporting on Lake Town. We also have attorney Adam Voskel with Midwest Environmental Advocates. Join in with questions about regulating CAFOs. Your thoughts on what ordinances have gone too far, what hasn't gone far enough? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A small community in the St. Croix Valley, Lake Town, along with some nearby towns, passed local laws last year regulating how CAFOs can operate in their communities. And now Lake Town is the target of a lawsuit challenging its local ordinance that make these concentrated animal feeding operations show how they deal with pollution. Call in with your questions, your thoughts, any point, 800-642-1234. We have attorney Adam Voskel with Midwest Environmental Advocates and John McCracken, journalist with Grist reporting on Lake Town. They stay with us. Let's bring in Katie in Monroe with a question. Katie, hi.
Hi. So in listening to your conversation, I've been in agriculture my entire life, and you guys don't really have a perspective of a producer. From a producer standpoint, on any type of farming, it's just like any other business. You have to scale so big to be able to make a profit. And then with today's world, we have people that are seven generations removed from a farm, and everyone wants a cheap, safe product. And so I guess my question is, how, as a producer, like, how are we supposed to do that?
Katie, thank you so much. Adam, go ahead. You first.
Sure. Thanks for the call and thanks for the question. I think the important thing to note here as it relates to the Lake Town ordinance is the fact that they're not banning banning CAFOs or banning a certain sized facility. And instead, what they're doing is recognizing in for some of these towns, you know, anywhere from a 31 to 50, 60 page fact-finding document, which simply outlined the susceptibility of contamination in the area. And so while, I recognize that there are sometimes concerns involved with, you know, making sure that these operations can turn a profit, I just, you know, it shouldn't be at the expense of the public health, the folks that live and rely on the resources of that community. And so this operations ordinance, to some extent, seeks to strike a balance both between allowing the operations to exist, but making sure that the community that would live adjacent to or neighboring those operations can continue to use, you know, their private drinking water wells, or as John noted, the surface waters in the area so they can recreate and safely. I think it's important just to recognize that this is not simply a ban, or it's not a ban at all. It is an attempt to ensure continued growth and continued thriving of the community.
John, did you encounter solutions in your reporting? Did things come up?
Yeah, definitely. I thank you, Katie, for calling in. I think that question sort of gets at the heart of this this lawsuit and this sort of divide, if per se, from, you know, communities concerned about contamination. And I definitely understand the perspective of a producer or someone who is wanting, you know, to keep the family operation going, and they have to scale up because agriculture and the industry is, as I wrote in the piece, there's been a large push in recent years for agriculture to sort of get bigger or get out. And it's concerning. I think in terms of solutions, we see places and farms attempting things like rotational grazing and cover crops and less impactive measures of waste in terms of, you know, farms that have maybe smaller animal units, but they have more focus on where that actual waste is going. I think it can get hard to sort of have a clear-cut solution when you have a very, very large amount of animal units. But on the flip side, as the caller mentioned, some farms are forced to have these large amount of hogs or cattle, et cetera, because it's the only way that they can sort of break even. So I think at the local level, you'll find maybe some environmental groups or, you know, UW Extension groups, soil protection groups that may have some more information about how to effectively manage that waste and where it goes, while also, you know, hopefully keeping the farm operation afloat.
Certainly. Competing pressures there. Let's bring in Kathleen in Steuben. Kathleen, hi.
Hi. We have a tragedy here in the waiting here in southwest Wisconsin where there's a proposed CAFO, a large hog CAFO that intends to spread about 2.5 million gallons of hog manure within 1/4 mile of the Kickapoo River. This proposed CAFO is on a ridge above where we live, and the Kickapoo River is our backyard, and we live in karst geology, and the local government is more or less tied between the farmers who are trying to still make a living and getting the tax credits that you can get for raising the crops and so on. But what can we get from the state government to protect our health and safety?
Kathleen, thank you for bringing that up. Adam, what are those steps? And can you also bring in right to farm law?
Sure. So I'm aware of the facility that we're discussing here. And so the steps that, you know, I know may not be wholly applicable, but, you know, when thinking about the state laws that address large CAFOs, you know, typically what you would look at is our state's permitting program, the Wisconsin Pollution Discharge Elimination System, or WPDES permit. Each CAFO as a point source under the Clean Water Act is required to seek and receive a permit from the Department of Natural Resources. Now, the hog CAFO that is being discussed in Crawford County in southwest Wisconsin has already received that permit. So it's a bit of a challenge, noting that is a means to address that concern. But certainly things like what we're seeing in Lake Town and operations ordinance may be a possibility for a local government that's looking to better protect the health and welfare of that community at a smaller scale. Looking towards the right to farm law, it's a bit different. The right to farm law addresses nuisance or private action suits. That's another state law that does kind of touch on agriculture and the withdrawal of autonomy of communities. And that right to farm law basically says if you are shielded from a nuisance action should a neighbor bring one, and the origin of that farm of that law was to prevent folks from the city moving out to the country and not liking agricultural smells, farms that smell, typical smells that you'll just experience in kind of rural life, and bringing some type of nuisance action to prevent them from operating. But what we've seen is the way that law is written, it actually it does much more than that. It says that if that there's no carve out for a change in circumstance. So let's say someone lives in a small farming community, and then one of these big operations just comes in across the street. Well, that's an exceptionally different circumstance, and suddenly you may your way of life may be threatened by things like the odor, the ammonium, the hydrogen sulfide that's being emitted by that farm, and you don't have a recourse through the courts. And if you were to try to use that law, what happens is should you lose, should that right to farm, that liability shield be successful, actually you're obligated, that community member is obligated to pay the attorney's fees of the opposing side. So we've seen that law in particular really be a hindrance to protecting communities in a similar way, not the same way, but in a similar way that we've seen that livestock facility siting law work as a hindrance to local governments and local communities trying to protect their interests and protect their way of life.
Well, thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
Adam Voskal is an attorney with Midwest Environmental Advocates. And John McCracken is a Midwest Reporting Fellow for GRIST, focused on climate issues. And we have a link to his piece on Lake Town. You can find it at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.